Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. It's the traveling caravan version of Ryder Than You. I'm in Vegas today. A little Vegas radio show action. There's some gamble in Vegas. There's some gamble going on in the world of the NBA. Free agency is underway. Teams have been negotiating with some of their players. LeBron James is doing LeBron things. We'll get to that in just a second. But we have a great show planned for you over the next couple hours. Tyreek Hill says some things often that aren't true, but not in a way that makes him a liar, that just makes him a guy that says what he's got to say when you work for a living. For example, he likes to say, and he just said recently, Tua Tagovailoa is the best QB in the National Football League, and he said it barely without laughing. But he did say something about the Dolphins that is critical, that is crucial, that defines this upcoming season one way or the other. We'll dive into that. Shohei Ohtani, I don't even know how to continue to properly marvel at the things that guy does. But there's a new one. We'll add it to the list. Maybe we'll hear from him. Those of you that are new to the program, I've been doing this radio show here for a lot of years, used to do it in the evenings, probably don't know that I used to call Ben Roethlisberger Big Ben, Little Ben. Haven't had reason to do that for a long time. It's not like he's playing in the National Football League. He said something about Patrick Mahomes that reverts his nickname again to Little Ben. So we'll let you listen to that at some point. We'll catch you up on a five things you need to know on NBA moves in lead up to free agency, this period where teams are trying to lock down their rosters for next year. Joe Vardon, our sort of recurring new friend of the show, had never been on. I like Joe. Great, talented guy. Ryan Hickey, the new producer, booked him, and now it's just a Vardon-a-palooza, feels like every week. And Joe's going to be on the show from The Athletic in an hour. We'll do buy or sell. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. Look, I'm going to say two things that are going to sound counterintuitive, but it's real. And those two things are LeBron James is probably the best player of all time, and LeBron James is the worst. He really is both. So if you missed this over the weekend, mealy-mouthed is such a great term. It means an inability to be frank, inauthentic, full of it. And LeBron James' mealy-mouthed move over the weekend is infuriating, not because of the way that it hamstrings the Lakers. He is entitled to opt into his $52.6 million player option, which he did. It's a contract that he signed. He's one of the great players of all time. He may be 40 going on 41 in his, 23rd season in the National Basketball Association or wherever the hell we're at. He's still a pretty good player. He signed a deal. He's entitled to it. He's entitled to it. What he's not entitled to is to tell us the world is flat and make us believe it, tell us the sun is blue and have us go, great call, have us believe that he doesn't care about rings, and then chase them after putting the Lakers in a position where they probably can't win one with him and it's hard to trade him. Here's the situation. LeBron James, by opting into this player option, and by taking the $52 million that is he absolutely deserves if he wants it, and then having his agent, Rich Paul, it's going to sound like a put down of Shams, and I guess it is. Look, Shams is amazing at his job. He's a better NBA insider than I am or anybody else not named Adrian Wojnarowski. But he's also a mouthpiece for people. He carries water, and good for him. That water's made him very, very wealthy. But it doesn't mean that what he's telling you is always in the best interest of the person listening. It's often in the best interest of the person who's feeding him the information. And this bizarro ESPN approach to this news, this LeBron has opted into his player option, that was yesterday, but he wants the right roster and the right team to win a championship, or else, implicitly implied, he'll want to be somewhere else, doesn't make sense. We live in a time in the NBA, it's much closer to the NBA than to the NFL than it used to be, where the amount of money you spend on players has an absolutely direct impact on whether you can win or you can lose. See the Phoenix Suns. See the Milwaukee Bucks. On the other side of the equation, see an Oklahoma City Thunder team that was paying most of its guys rookie deals. LeBron opting into that deal, by its very nature, makes it harder for the Lakers to win championships. It gives them less flexibility. In fact, the Lakers, understanding LeBron prioritizes, and this is fine, I'm not mad at him, money over rings at this stage of his career, are gearing up to have massive amounts of cap space in 2026, 1 year from now. They're looking to build behind their young superstar in Luka Doncic once LeBron is no longer on the books. It's not as if LeBron was trapped into this contract. It's not as if they traded for Luka when LeBron had a bunch of years left. By opting into the deal, LeBron makes it harder for the Lakers to win. By doing that and then telling the Lakers, I want to win now or else maybe I want to be traded, doesn't make sense, is blatantly hypocritical, and just exposes LeBron James as a totally inauthentic all-time great. This is like walking down the aisle, going through all the pageantry, holding, I guess this could be Ryan because he's now engaged, your true love's hands, saying I do, and then calling her aside a few minutes later and saying, I'm not really into commitment though. Then don't get married. LeBron, if you don't want to be committed to the Lakers, if you want a situation where you can win rings now, if you want your agent through Shams to put out to the world on ESPN and interviews that don't make sense or ask the right questions, the message that it's important that you're closing gears, you have a chance at championships, don't opt into the deal. And by the way, I know it's easy for me to take money out of somebody else's pocket. I know it's easy for me to say, take less money. That's not what I'm saying. Take the money or choose the rings. You can't have both, and he knows it. And this ability, this need, this desire to bend the world to his will doesn't work anymore. Maybe it worked when you're 29 years old, the height of your powers, and were literally performing the greatest single seasons maybe in NBA history. That's not you anymore. It's not you. Shohei Ohtani wants to pull some crazy moves. Go for it. Go for it. Greg Maddux, nobody cares, man. The game's passed you by. Doesn't mean you weren't great. It just means you don't impact things anymore because, well, in Greg Maddux's case, you're 50 years old. I know LeBron's playing, but he's at the back end of that spectrum. He is. It is hypocritical, it is obnoxious, and he's 100% full of it. And by the way, I haven't often compared LeBron's machinations to those in the NFL and the all-time greats over there. Not because they're different sports, because the lay of the land, the way that you build a championship team, used to be very different. The NFL's always had a hard cap. The cap is a reality. We see good players get cut all the time. It happens every season. It's happened in this season. The NBA hasn't been like that. And Adam Silver, and we've discussed this here on Rider Than You on the Infinity Sports Network, looked around a few years ago and said, you know what? We are so far behind the NFL, yeah, because it's the bigger, better sport, sure, but also because they've created a system where there's enough parity that a lot of teams can win and compete. And I'm going to create something different. This is the first time where the amount of money you make in the NBA can directly impact whether or not you're able to win championships. And so now I think you can compare. Now I think you can draw a distinction. And let me just remind you that the actual greatest player in the history of the National Football League, Tom Brady, took less money multiple years in New England so the Patriots could win championships. Again and again. There was one point, and I know their run was never a back-to-back-to-back. It was kind of like the Spurs in the NBA. It was spread over a long period. But there was a point when the Patriots were winning Super Bowls where Brady was the 16th highest-paid quarterback in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes makes a bunch of money, but he does not make the money he could make at his market value. When he signed his deal a year or so ago with the Chiefs, it was with enough flexibility that it wasn't about, look at me, I'm the man financially. It was, let's go out and build a winner. LeBron has chosen not to do that. And here's the other hypocritical thing about this. I don't care what LeBron does. Do what you want, man. Chase rings, chase money, live in LA, retire and go to Cabo. I don't care, dude. Be happy. But don't do one thing and tell me it's the other. And this is why it's so hard to root for this guy. Look, I know LeBron. I've covered LeBron. I wouldn't be talking on the radio if I hadn't had time around LeBron. So I'm aware of that. I don't hate LeBron the way some people do, but this is the thing that adds fodder to those that hate LeBron for the wrong reasons, and frankly, those that don't like LeBron James for the right reasons. Because just what, a week or so ago, again, he signs his deal with the Lakers. He takes the money. They're hamstrung now in building a winning team this year. He could have opted out. He could have taken less money. He could have gone somewhere else if he wanted to win a championship. And then he has the audacity, after opting in and making it almost impossible for the Lakers, A, to move him, and B, to win with him, says, I'm going to watch what they're doing. I want to win rings. Here's the biggest thing, LeBron, they could have done to win championships. Here's the biggest move that they could have done to put you in a position to win another one. They could have talked you into taking $15 million or $20 million, a reduced amount of money. They could have said to you, hey, man, you've got this Nike deal and you've got this very successful entrepreneurial Hollywood things going on. You've made hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of your career. You don't really need $50 million. Can you take $20 million and we'll build a winner around you? And he said, hell no. And then he said, I want rings. And this comes 2 weeks. I'm going to play this for you on his podcast. Again, Mealy Mouth Podcast. And he's going to get something wrong here. He's going to talk about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has one ring. No, he doesn't. He has two, bro. LeBron is going to – anyway, here is LeBron a few weeks before opting into his deal and then demanding the chance to win titles, saying that championships actually don't matter.
I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport and why it's the A-all, be-all of everything. You sit here and you tell me, you know, Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash, like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won one ring or won two rings or won, like, it's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady. Or Mahomes, because he only has one ring. They don't never discuss that in a sport.
Right.
Or telling me that Dan Marino is not the greatest slinger of all time. Or he can't be in the room with those guys because he didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. They don't discuss those things.
Yeah, we don't discuss those things because Peyton Manning actually has two rings and because Dan Marino is not the greatest slinger of all time. So that's kind of where we're at. Here's the other thing you have to realize about LeBron's hypocrisy. And it is hypocrisy. And let me say it again. Not mad at LeBron for taking the money. Not mad at LeBron for chasing rings. You can't always have both. You don't get to dictate the physics of how the NBA CBA works. And this isn't even my overarching point. LeBron's not a top. This would be obnoxious if LeBron were a top two player. This would be incredibly obnoxious if he were Nikola Jokic or SGA in terms of impact. He's not. He's a top 10 player or top 15 player. Or top 18 player. He's a really good player right now. He's not this guy. But even if he was, it doesn't change the reality. The other thing about his hypocrisy that is really frustrating is that the moves that he's making are signaling to his teammates, take the money, don't worry about championships. Remember, Dorian Finney-Smith opted out of a $15 million player option. Why did he do that? Because he wants money. How do you talk that guy into taking a discount to win with the Lakers, to give it one more year with LeBron and with Luka? If LeBron James is like, hell no, I'm taking my $52 million, but you take less. You that don't have generational wealth, not like me, you take less. Austin Reeves just turned down a pretty good amount of money, a long-term deal in the $90 million range, because he's going to make big-time dollars when he can just get to an opportunity not to be on that extension. How do you tell Austin Reeves, take a discount for us when LeBron James won't? The reason the Lakers have to build for 2026 and beyond, the reason the Lakers can't focus on LeBron James is because LeBron has always made it about LeBron. It's never been about the team or the organization or everybody else. And that's fine. You're so good. You can be selfish. You can make it about you. And remember, LeBron, in his selfishness, would require that Timothy Mozgov be brought into Cleveland for two first-round picks. He would require that J.R. Smith be the solution when J.R. Smith would literally forget whether or not they had timeouts, how much time was left. I can go down the list of how LeBron, I think the best player of all time, was in direct conflict with LeBron, I think the worst GM of all time. But LeBron was so talented that he could overcome his own poor moves. He's not there anymore. And if you're Pelinka and you're Jeannie Buss, you're over it because the juice is not worth the squeeze. The audacity, it would be obnoxious if LeBron opted into the deal, which he just did, and gave this message to the Lakers privately, which he probably did, by the way. And they probably tried really hard not to roll their eyes. To immediately go out and have Shams deliver his message from Clutch Sports, LeBron expects to win. The obvious answer would be, and you could see if you watch Shams on ESPN, the anchors wanted to ask it, but they don't want to make Shams mad. Hey, bro, if he wants to win, why did he opt into the deal that makes it impossible for the Lakers to win? Because LeBron wants his pay and to eat it too. He wants his cake and to eat it too. It's obnoxious. It's silly. It's stupid. And LeBron James is going to get exactly what he deserves. $52.6 million, zero chance to win a ring, and an expose, a reality that he's always been about himself and wants the massive gifts of his basketball, and it is brilliance. Brilliance has gone away. It ain't worth it. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. I don't hate LeBron, by the way. I know people think I do because he attacked me on Twitter. I don't hate LeBron. I'm just one of the people who will say the truth about LeBron James, and that makes you a liar, or makes you an idiot, or makes you unloyal. The Lakers have to build for a championship, and LeBron taking $52.6 million writes off this year as an opportunity. And trading him is almost impossible, because most teams that would want LeBron James are going to be in the first or second apron. It's going to be, I'm not even sure he's worth it, which we'll hit later in the show. In fact, I'll ask you, even if you could get LeBron, if you're Miami, Dallas, Golden State, Cleveland, is LeBron James worth it? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. Oh, man, LeBron James is the worst sometimes. Shohei Ohtani is the best, maybe. And Tyreek Hill says the Dolphins can be something. We'll get into that next here on Rider Than You.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
They're going to have to either find a captain to pilot this boat, to steer. Do you pilot a boat? Captain a boat? Sail the boat?
Captain a boat.
The captain captains the boat?
Captain captains the boat.
They got a new captain that's got to captain the boat or change direction. It's a lot going on here on the show.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Man, welcome back into the show. I need to stop comparing you, Ryan Hickey, to your predecessor, Pretty Daddy. You are so much better than music.
And much better looking, right?
No, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I like the music, though. This is a deep cut.
That was very funny. I'm glad you like it.
You fish for a compliment. I fumbled it. I pulled a LeBron.
No, I respect don't know. I think it's a lot funnier than you said. Oh, let's back up. Stick to the music, buddy, right?
Stick to the music, DJ El Guapo. Come on. Oh, man. I go back and forth on Tyreek Hill and just sort of my general feeling of the guy. Look, I said this about LeBron. Get your money. I'm never going to be mad at someone for making their money. When Tyreek Hill had himself moved to the Dolphins, it just felt like walking away from something magical and beautiful. And by the way, it does sort of fit into what I was talking about. In the NFL and now the NBA to a certain degree, there are limitations on what you can pay guys. And Tyreek Hill, properly in his agent, understood to get maximum value. And he's outstanding. He is easily, conservatively, Ryan Hickey, a top three receiver in football. If I'm being really conservative?
Yes, very fair.
In a vacuum. He went to Miami. He got paid a bunch of money. And early on, it felt like maybe everybody was going to win. That's not the way that things have gone. I'm saying aside from the cash. The Dolphins had maybe their best sort of glimpses early on, and the arrival of Tyreek Hill seemed to really lift up Tua Tagovailoa. We've seen receivers go into places, Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen in Buffalo, I think is the best example, and liberate quarterbacks, kind of unlock their ability, give them a security blanket, help build them up a little bit. But since then, the Chiefs have won a multitude of Super Bowls. They are going to be in the mix for a Super Bowl every single year. In fact, their dreariness right now is the fact that they lost to the Eagles, right? That's why the vultures are circling. The Dolphins are having trouble sniffing playoff wins, just to put it in perspective. And Tyreek Hill over the years has said, I want to leave, I don't want to leave. Tua is the best QB in football. No, he's not. And he's a character. But he did have some insight, I thought, when he was visiting with some folks about the stakes, the fork in the road, the do-or-die reality for the Miami Dolphins this upcoming season.
This year, as one of the leaders, dog, I told the guys, like, it's time to change who we are as a team. It's time to change the narrative about we are not able to play in cold weather. We are not a physical team. I'm tired of that narrative, bro. I'm tired of living behind not being able to go to the playoffs and win in Miami, dog, because we got a damn good team. We got a good quarterback. We got a good offensive lineman. We got some good coaches. And we got some good people in the community who deserve to be a part of that. So I feel like this is the year that we change all of that, dog.
Everything he said, well, is close to accurate. This is a team, by the way, that's what, they're 0-5 in their last five playoff games. They've had some rough draws, right? They've had to go to Kansas City, and they've had to play in some cold weather. Doesn't matter. The bloom has come off the Mike McDaniel rose a little bit. I still think he's a very, very good coach. But the Dolphins just haven't quite been able to live up to their expectations. They've lost 13 games where the temperatures were 40 degrees or below. Their last win in the cold was in Buffalo. You ready for this? In 2016, when I started this radio show in the evenings, and Ryan Hickey was a part-timer. Now, before we get carried away on the candor of Tyreek Hill, I almost wasn't going to play this for you, but he does pretend in this same conversation that Tua Tagovailoa, his left-handed quarterback, is actually Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe a Chiefs, Dolphins, AFC.
Ooh.
I think that's something we would all like to see.
Well, we all know Tua is the best quarterback in the NFL. We all know that, right? So it'll be a great thing, dog.
He said that the way that I had to answer you, saying you were more handsome than Pretty Daddy. Okay. Two playoff wins for the Dolphins, I think, would be a massive success. In a lot of ways, a playoff win. They're the Steelers in terms of playoff success, but without the consistency that Mike Tomlin's brought to the table. Where do you think they rank right now in the AFC? I mean, the Chiefs are better, the Bills are better, the Bengals are better, the Ravens are clearly better, the Texans are clearly better, the Chargers, I think, are better. Are they maybe in a Denver category where you can kind of, it's a Rorschach test, you can kind of look at it and you can see 7 wins or 11 wins, depending on what you want to see. They're not even a guarantee to be in a mix for a playoff spot. Are they?
I mean, I was just doing the quick math. Like, I would put Denver above them. I think right now, like, you could say conservatively, like, 8th. And that's if, you know, depending how you feel about the Jets. Like, I know there's some people, we had Mike Florio on about a month ago,
yeah,
who's bullish on the Jets. Like, we could, there's a world where you'd be talking about the Dolphins, like, the 10th best team in the AFC.
The Steelers, I mean, I don't want to get too carried away on Aaron Rodgers, but whatever. Like, the Steelers were 9-8 last year, if I remember that right.
The Jaguars could bounce back, maybe, if depending on, like, you know, how you're feeling. Like, yeah, the Steelers, Jaguars, Dolphins, like, I think all could go one way or another.
Man, when you're talking about whether or not you're better than the Jags or not, yes, things have really gone badly. Do you think Mike McDaniel gets another job quickly if they win 6 games this year and he should be and will be fired? Do you believe in him?
I do. I think their troubles are more quarterback and roster versus head coach. I think he would get another job.
Have you noticed that he looks exactly like our friend Tom DiBenedetto, who is the executive producer of the Jim Rome Show and used to work here? Have you seen these side-by-sides?
I've not seen the side-by-side, but since I know Tom, I can picture his face in my mind. I can minus the curly hair, which Tom does not have, I could definitely see it.
It's a huge season for the Dolphins. And the thing is, I like the Dolphins. I like Tua. I like Mike McDaniel. I want to see Tyreek Hill be successful. I'm 100% here for it. It's easy to forget the heroics because it was, hell, it might have been back in 2016 when Tua did not start at the national championship game for Alabama and then came in and led them to victory over what, Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts was a starter of that game. I mean, he's got greatness in him, at least at the collegiate level. And it felt like bringing in Tyreek Hill was going to give him the opportunity to have the weapons that he needed. He doesn't have an amazing arm, but he's incredibly accurate. It does feel like there's untapped potential there. It does feel like there's every year, you know what it is? The Dolphins are like the Bears for me, only the Bears is an emotional connection. Every year I think they're going to be better than they are. And every year they disappoint and they let me down. This is it. If this doesn't work, they should tear that thing down. They should move on from the quarterback. They should move on from the coach. It'll be time to just try to reinvent themselves. And by the way, you know how they got here? They tore themselves down beforehand, where they lost a bunch of games, they traded a bunch of guys, and they built a bunch of picks in order to recalibrate around this group. And they have not won a single playoff game yet. So it's not the same thing as the 400 tracker. I haven't even looked. How's Aaron Judge doing? I don't even want to know. Is he dropping?
I did not actually check. I tried to refer to myself.
We might need a Shohei Ohtani tracker. I don't know what that would be called. Shohei Ohtani pitched again on Saturday. He pitched 2 innings. It was the first time this season he's gone 2 innings. They're clearly just, because we've talked about this, you can't send Shohei Ohtani down to a minor league start, right? He can't have a minor league stint because you need his bat in the lineup. So, Ryan, what he's going to do is he's going to have an inning and then 2 innings and then 3 innings. He was flawless. He allowed a hit, he allowed a walk, he struck out a guy. He hit 101.7 miles per hour, fastest pitch by a Dodger this season, second fastest, I think, pitch of his entire career. I know we know this, I know we talk about it. He's Michael Jordan in terms of Tiger Woods. I'm not even sure what the right comp is. Maybe there's nobody like him. He is light years above every other baseball player from a talent perspective. Whether or not he executes it or not, we'll find out. If this guy can stay healthy, he can win the Cy Young and he can win the MVP just as a hitter next year. I'm going to go on a limb and say he's the greatest baseball player of all time.
Right now.
By performance, you have to have longevity, right? I mean, Grant Hill was a top 10 player, but he got hurt. Tiger Woods was the best golfer of all time, but he didn't get past Jack because of his marital woes. So right, I mean, it's a thing can be true, but it doesn't mean you earn it, right? You can be the greatest El Guapo DJ on earth, Ryan. But if you don't go out in the streets and get it done, it doesn't count. Yes, maybe the better way to say it is the most talented baseball player I've ever seen. And I don't say that lightly. I love the game. I revere its history. I understand the longevity of the sport. It takes a while for most guys to get to the majors. That's a marathon. It's 162 games. That's just regular season. Spring training's a beast because I've covered baseball. That's a marathon. And then in order to get to a real level of historical greatness, 3,000 strikeouts, 300 wins, 500 home runs, where that meant something, whatever, 3,000 hits, whatever it is, that's a marathon. That's season after season. That's marathon after marathon after marathon. I understand it. I have utter respect for Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, Tony Gwynn, Mark Grace, just kidding, I just like to throw him in there. Whoever I'm supposed to, I understand Joey has to do it longer. I mean, look at Mike Trout. That guy was the best player in baseball for a long stretch, and he had a long stretch, and then the sport caught up to him, right? He's not able to have the career, the longevity that you need to really be top 10's ridiculous, top 20 baseball player of all time, or whatever it is. Barry Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs, we think, in order to sort of make his career longer. Shohei Ohtani won the MVP last year, had a 50-50 season in his first season with a new team, switching leagues, which, you know, you are seeing not as much in interleague play, but you're seeing different pitchers more or less. You have this pressure. We've seen guys go to the Dodgers or the Yankees for massive contracts and not buckle, but have these learning curves, right? Where you're a little, because when you're hitting, if you get in a slump, if you get in your head at all, it impacts you. He goes in, Shohei had one of the best seasons offensively we've seen in ever, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years last year. Now he's pitching, and he's throwing the ball almost 102 miles per hour. He's a marvel. He's a marvel.
Off of two, his second elbow surgery, and it's like he was good. He was a good pitcher with the Angels. He's not touching this velo. Like, imagine if, again, you got to build him up and sustain this, but he could be a legitimate Cy Young caliber pitcher every single year on top of an MVP hitter. Like, it's crazy. He's getting better as he gets older still.
He can be, okay, so he is a top two hitter in baseball right now. I mean, he won the MVP last year.
Yeah.
I'll be conservative. He's a top five hitter in baseball. And he might be more because he steals bases, right? I mean, he's fast, he scores runs, clutch hits, and he's got to come back and be healthy. But what is he as a pitcher once he works his way back up to six or seven innings? Top 15, potentially?
If he can carry, right, what he's done in an inning or two through six or seven innings consistently, top 10, maybe? Like, top 15 conservatively?
And look, we'll see whether what I'm about to say actually has any impact. But when he was with the Angels, he was literally the only guy that could pitch. I mean, that pitching staff for most of his time there was abysmal. And when you are the ace of a team whose pitching staff isn't very good, you often put pressure on yourself to stop losing streaks, to be the stopper. He's playing for a Dodgers team. He wouldn't get run support. It was really bizarre. For whatever reason, the Angels would not get. He would have all these games he would lose where he would pitch pretty well. He is going to start whenever he gets to that point. Maybe it's 2 months from now. Whenever he can go six, seven innings, he's gonna pitch for an offense that's gonna put up runs behind him, Ryan. And he's going to be a part of a rotation that is deep enough and good enough, especially as he gets healthy, that he can pitch every 6 days and be fine. The lack of pressure, the fact that he doesn't have to be the most important player on the face of the earth every time that he pitches, has the potential to make him even better as a pitcher. It takes off some of that. Maybe he doesn't press, but it makes maybe life a little bit easier. I think the sky's the limit for this guy. By the way, Titus just hit me up. You lose me when you hate on Braun and A-Rod, but you reel me right back in loving on Shohei. Diabolical. Shohei is the man. I'm not hating on LeBron. I'm not. Titus. McClendon, my guy. LeBron James opted into his deal and then complained about the Lakers not having a winning team. He knows their roster situation. He knows what their deal is. He knows that if he opts in, they can't win a championship. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at him for lying to all of us. I think LeBron's amazing. I generally like him. But don't you have friends who you like except the times you hate them? That's LeBron. It's like Stuart Kovacs. It just is what it is. All right, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. A lot of other NBA moves happen. A lot of chess pieces, free agency, guys making deals with their teams and the lead up to the sort of free agency free-for-all. We're going to consolidate that for you in five things you need to know about what happened in the NBA over the weekend.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I watched that movie too. Tiger Woods, out of the woods, into the... That was bad. You know what? Let's just move on. It's time for buyer. Let's pretend that didn't happen.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, what's up? Welcome back into the show. On this Monday, Bill Ryder with you. We're going to get to five things you need to know in just a moment. Let's take a phone call or two. The phone number is free. It's 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to beautiful Atlanta. I bet it's hot Atlanta right now, but it's hot. JT, what's up, brother? Appreciate you listening. You are on Ryder Than You.
Thank you for taking my call, and it definitely is hot Atlanta right now. I just want to get in on this LeBron take, right? And I think that the fans that get mad at people for calling LeBron out for being who he is are just ridiculous, right? Because as a Laker fan, I've never really enjoyed him being a part of our team. Just the fact that when the team that he came to at the time kind of demonstrated to me that he wasn't in it for winning, because that wasn't a roster that was going to win anytime soon. But LeBron, to me, it all goes back to his insecurity. He is insecure. He's probably, since he was, 10, 11, 12, been told how great he was and how great he was going to be, and he's going to be the best ever. And granted, he's lived up, for the most part, to the hype. But I think that's created an insecurity in him to where he has to try to secure his place in history. And he's more concerned about making sure that happens more than he is anything else, and it makes him do disingenuous things. Like, he's got a documented history of lying for no reason for things to make himself seem smarter or do things. And it's just like, why? Dude, just be – I mean, your talent is undeniable, so just let that be what it is and let that speak for yourself. But he has urge to try to make sure that he is the greatest, right, and is perceived to be the greatest by everyone else. That often makes him seem just unauthentic.
Dude, great call, dude. I'll add this, too. I think LeBron has traversed the most difficult thing in American society to go through with remarkable success, and that is being a childhood star. And by the standards of childhood stars, I think he is utterly commendable. See Lindsay Lohan. See Macaulay Culkin. See Tiger Woods. I mean, the list goes on and on. That is not a comfortable space to navigate. That doesn't make him likable all the time when he insults our intelligence, even if I have utter sympathy for why he does that. And again, people that listen think I'm hating LeBron or loving LeBron. I get accused sometimes in the same week of being a LeBron sycophant and LeBron hater. I've covered LeBron since 2010. I don't know him in the sense I call him on the phone and go golf with him, but I know who he is, obviously, on a little more personal level than most people. He certainly knows who I am. I know the people around him. I've interacted with the guy. I don't dislike him, and I think everything you said is right. I'll just add, two things can be true. He can be insecure and inauthentic, and that makes him super unlikable. There can also be really real reasons for that, and that I think is he was a childhood star. I mean, they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school kid. Bryce Harper is another guy that's navigated it pretty successfully because he was also on the cover when he came out of where I'm sitting, Vegas. So I think it's commendable how he's navigated those things, but there are some residual realities, and some of that is the fact that he's often totally insufferable. Let's do five things you need to know on NBA free agency.
Your security clearance is on a need-to-know basis. And these are five things you need to know. Number one.
Yeah.
Let's start, Bill, in your neck of the woods and LeBron's neck of the woods, Los Angeles. As the Clippers, the other team in town, and James Harden agreed to a two-year, $81.5 million extension. Now, Harden's coming off a good year for him, All-NBA third-team selection, after averaging nearly 23 points per game, 8.7 assists per game, and 1.5 steals per game. Now, Harden last year, I know you love these stats, was the only player to record at least 1,500 points, 500 assists, 100 steals, and 50 blocks.
I got to tell you, he had an amazing year, and I've been hard on Harden. Hard on Harden? He's going to be 36 in August, but it makes sense. He's happy in L.A. I was saying this to you in the break, and I think this will be a reality for every one of the five things that you walk us through, Ryan Hickey. The NBA CBA has been successful enough that it's pushed down the top teams and lifted up the bottom teams enough that a multitude of basketball organizations think they can win or think they can have enough success that it's worth going for it. and that includes the Clippers. And that's going to incentivize teams to say, what the hell? They may not have paid James Harden this kind of money if it was 7 years ago. If it was like, well, what does it matter? We can't get past the Warriors, and even if we did, we can't get past LeBron and the Cavs. That's not how it works anymore. And I know that the Thunder position to be really dominant, but outside of Oklahoma City, it's wide, wide open, and it's really hard to repeat. So I like the move for the Clippers. I can insert the obvious joke that James Harden's amazing until the playoffs. He hasn't had a lot of success there, but he's earned it. And for a Clippers team that was really, I think, overachieving this past season with Kawhi Leonard hurt and how well they played defensively, his offensive spark is important.
Let's stay in the West then as the Rockets and their forward Jabari Smith Jr. agreed to a massive 5-year, $122 million extension on Sunday night. Now, Smith knocked down 45.5% of threes in the playoffs and averaged 12.2 points per game last season. Houston, now, when you look at their core, they've locked up Smith, Fred VanVleet, and Steven Adams, while also trading for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, look, Houston's really interesting because the Durant thing, and we've talked about this, puts I think it puts a pretty immediate clock on the Rockets having to win. And it was Jared Greenberg who came on the show and made a point that I hadn't thought of, which he tends to do, really insightful, that it now creates massive pressure on young guys who might have had 3 or 4 years to grow into a championship team. Nope, you better do it this year or next year. But this is a really nice move. You keep one of your core young guys. They've drafted incredibly well. I know the money seems insane, but that's just the going price to retain your talent when you draft properly.
Number three.
The Wolves locked two of their key players up as they agreed to extensions with both Julius Randle and Naz Reid over the weekend. Now, Randle agreed to a 3-year, $100 million deal after averaging 18.7 points per game while shooting 48.5% from the field, his highest shooting percentage since the 2018-2019 season. Now, Minnesota, when Randle was in the lineup, went 44-25 and 5-8 without him. Minnesota also extended 2024 sixth man of the year and winner Naz Reid to a 5-year, $125 million extension. Last year, Reid scored a career high 14.2 points per game.
Dude, I was thinking about this. I think the Wolves are the team next year, potentially in the Western Conference, if it's not the Thunder. They were really close again. They made, what, back-to-back conference finals. And the actual reason they didn't succeed is because Anthony Edwards could not shoot or play at a high level in the playoffs. And Ryan Hickey is making, El Guapo DJ over here, is making the choke sign. You're making the choke sign. Yes, but I also think that there's a learning curve. There's a learning curve for the playoffs, and there's a learning curve for superstardom. And Ant bit off more than he could chew by telling everybody he's better than every player in the history of the game. I think he's going to get there. Maybe he won't. And look, it's a little worrisome to rely on Randle and to pay him money, but he had a really good season. I think just bringing back the core group of guys, I think you're constructed in a way that if Anthony Edwards plays like a top five player and not like a Guapo DJ Ryan Hickey choke artist, as you just put it, Guapo DJ might be your new nickname. It might have just happened but naturally. Look, if Anthony Edwards shoots prop, he shot 40% from the three-point line in the regular season, took the most threes of anybody in the NBA, and couldn't buy a bucket in the playoffs. If he makes that leap next year, I think they can beat the Thunder. I love that they're doubling down on this team.
Number four.
So the Bucks started their pursuit of trying to keep Giannis in Milwaukee by agreeing to a 3-year, $44 million deal with restricted free agent Bobby Portis. Now, Portis has been one of the most prolific bench scorers in the league, as over the last three seasons, he's combined to score 2,181 points, which is the third most in that time period. Last year, Portis averaged nearly 14 points per game.
If you are relying on Bobby Portis to win and retain Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're in big, big trouble. That's it. That's what I got.
Number five.
Very fair. And how about this to finish off? The Trailblazers made some surprising news as they bought out former number one overall pick DeAndre Ayton over the weekend, adding an unexpected talent to the free agent pool. Now, last year, Ayton averaged 14.4 points per game and 10.2 rebounds per game, and he became the first player since Dwight Howard to average at least 10 points and 10 rebounds in each of his first seven seasons in the league.
By the way, those are very impressive stats. The former number one overall draft pick obviously brings some value. Everywhere he goes, he leaves acrimoniously. Everybody has to leave. No job lasts forever. Leaving the right way says something about the way you carried yourself in the time that you were there. the Suns couldn't get rid of him quickly enough. Remember, this is a guy who didn't show up for a game because of snow, although everyone else made it to the game. The Lakers are going to be in on him. Other teams that need a big man are going to be in on him. It's just, there's a giant, giant red flag. The Portland Trail Blazers don't want you? Look, Portland's a team on the rise. They've done a nice job drafting. They had a really good end of the season. They think they can compete for a playoff play-in spot. Okay, cool. And I love Portland, Oregon. I'm not taking a shot at Portland. We're on the air in Eugene. I love Portland. But it's not an easy place to recruit players to for a variety of reasons. It's just a place that's been hard historically to recruit free agents to. When you get someone in who's talented, you usually want to keep them in Portland. And that's true of a lot of markets. The fact that they're just, we're going to pay you to go goodbye and good riddance. I think that's probably a teammate, chemistry, character concern on the Trailblazers' part rather than a basketball thing. What do you think, DJ El Guapo?
With that, he just feels like he's so talented, but he has no care in the world.
So talented.
Like, he just doesn't have any motivation or drive.
It would be amazing to watch someone here just get paid $10 million, but they had to keep coming to work. Just what would that be like? If you just didn't like your job or your bosses or your work or your colleagues, hated all of us?
Not bad. It's probably like to have one day. Yeah.
Be like Stuart Kovacs, our buddy who worked on the two shows after this one. If you're the Lakers, just be careful on DeAndre Ayton. I'm just, because they need a big man, and maybe you can get a discount. I would be very, very leery on bringing into that LeBron James mealy mouth move reality a disgruntled player. All right. Good stuff. You know what we should do? We should ask Joe Vardon what he thinks. The outstanding, athletic, national NBA writer joins me next here on Writer Than You.